This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to grab your popcorn and your drink. Please take your seat and always silence your cell phones. The next showing of Place to Be Nation's Laughing Theater with Andy Atherton is about to begin.
Music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I...
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the theater, the Laughing Theater. I am your host, Andy Atherton, and thank you for joining me tonight. We have a great movie, a great guest, a second timer here in the theater. Actually, we're celebrating a holiday, not one of the major holidays, but you'll figure that out in just a few minutes. But let me introduce my guest, very well known around these parts, over on the wrestling feed. He's part of Talking WCW here on the Pop Feed, one of our comics guys, is part of the Marvel Age, and over on the Jenny position, he is part of Talking Pop, like that used to be here, migrated over there to that wonderful feed, Mr. Tim Capel. Tim, how are you tonight?
I am doing okay here, Andy Atherton. Thank you for having me back on this second edition now of Laughing Theater. And wow, it's sort of like, have I turned into your, not to spill the beans too early here, but am I your like official Bill Murray correspondent now?
You may be. Tim and I, not telling tales as skew as Tim likes to say. We got a few shows together over the next few weeks, so. But I'm glad we have a one-on-one as part of that this stretch. Yeah, you're everybody's Bill Murray. You're the everyman here at Place of the Nation.
Well, it's just funny. The first episode of this show that I did with you was Ghostbusters, yes. One of my just all-time favorite movies. Maybe my favorite movie when you get right down to it. And then on the Place of the Nation holiday spectacular special that you put together with many, many, many illustrious guests, I was on to talk about Scrooge. It's the film that I picked, even though it's not really a favorite. I just thought it'd be fun to talk about. And you were kind of soliciting ideas for future installments of Laugh-In Theater. What are some of my favorite comedies? And I sent you some. This, I believe, happened to be on the list. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was just on my mind. It's a movie I've always kind of liked. Incidentally, does have Bill Murray in it. So yes.
And
here we are.
And it kind of has a specific date that you kind of want to do it around. So, Tim, what are we watching today, since we've teased it enough?
So if you haven't gathered, we are watching Groundhog Day, and hopefully you are listening to this adjacent to Groundhog Day, although I suppose it doesn't matter given the themes of this film.
It is being released on Groundhog Day. I did make arrangements with the manager to make sure that happens. We're all about synergy here.
most appropriate. So, I mean, what other Groundhog Day traditions are they really, other than the great ceremony itself, of course,
and which my current boss actually went to, in I think he went in 2002. Actually, yeah, every year he bought a wood carving of Punxsutawney Phil. It has a date on it, and he puts it up in the window in his office.
Every year.
So that sucker's going up. It should be up by the time everybody hears this. So it goes up for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I think people maybe, if they're seeing this movie, are wondering, is this like a real thing? And I mean, I've never witnessed it, but I'm assured it's a real thing.
Oh, it is. So. It is. And there's also there's another one. He has a cousin. Mm. I believe. I'm trying to remember. It's a New York thing. I think it's Staten Island Sam or something. I'm not making it up. While we're watching the movie, I will Google it and I will figure it out. So you kind of said why you picked it. So this came out in 1993. It is PG. Yep. Did you see it in the theater, Tim, do you think?
Actually did, yeah. Yeah, I actually did see this in the theater, believe it or not. I would have been like 10 years old. And It was one that I don't even know why we saw it. It was just my dad and my cousin, and I just, it's so weird, the little details that stand out to you. It was a Sunday night. I think it had just opened that weekend, and we like weren't even planning on going to the movies. It was just one of those. My dad was like, "Hey, you guys want to see a movie?" And we're like, "Okay, of course you're going to want to when you're that age." And it's February, right? So, or late January, whenever this came out. And I mean, there's nothing in theaters at that time, especially in 1993, right? So it was just sort of, we don't have a lot of options here. What about this, you know, random Bill Murray comedy? And I mean, this just wasn't the type of movie that I went for at that age, nor would my dad want to take me to. It was usually like an action movie or summer blockbuster, something pretty popular, typical. And this was just very different. For whatever reason, we went to see it. And I remember really liking it even at the time, being as young as I was. Probably didn't appreciate some of the nuances as much. Some of the, I don't know, some of the just the overall message and the symbolism that I'd take from it today, I would not have gotten that at the time. But it's one that, you know, I kind of got into early and has always stayed with me. And my fondness has grown for it over time.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that you have to really see more than once to really appreciate how smart the movie really is, and kind of take some stuff away from it. And probably some really great, outside of Bill Murray, I mean, a lot of great character actor moments in this movie that we'll discuss as we go along. Probably one of my favorite character actors of all time, Stephen Tobolowsky. One of the great scenes in the movie. So those of you, if you haven't really seen Groundhog Day, briefly, it's a weatherman finds himself inexplicably living the same day over and over again. It was almost like my version of Rory. So that's the plot. It stars Bill Murray, Andy McDowell, Chris Elliott, Stephen Tobolowsky, Brian Doyle Murray, Rick Overton, Rick Dukerman, and lots of other great character actors. As you'll see, you may not know them by name, you'll know them by face.
So, very, very bit part by Michael Shannon in this.
Oh, yes.
Very brief.
So that sets up what we're going to watch, but let's kind of talk about what's going on here at Place to Be Nation. Don't forget to check out all the great shows here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed that you're listening to right now. We have great shows like Car Traveling Fanboys, This Week in the NFL, Brother Sister Rewatch, Diamond Conversations, a new show, It Was a Thing on TV, Sunday Groove, various specials that you'll hear many of us on, including myself and Tim. Tim, Marvel Age is on here. You guys, you just are wrapping up 72, right?
Finished up 1972. It was a three-parter that we did for that year. So our third and final part dropped in the month of January on Place to Be Nation and Pop. We have scheduled to start 1973 very soon. So more on that to come later.
Keep an eye out for that. And then over on the wrestling feed, we have the Place to Be Podcast, Main Event, Wrestling War Zone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jenny and the Gems, Body Pressure Luck, Talking WCW, which Tim, Jenny, and Greg Phillips are your three co-hosts on that show. Very fine show. The last episode, you guys looked at Kevin Sullivan.
We did. It's a lot of fun. A lot of, you know, two of the matches I think are held in very high esteem. The one that I picked could not be farther from high esteem. So, that's going to be just a whirlwind listen. But please check it out if you have any interest in WCW or the great Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan.
Great. Also, over on the Jenny position, you have Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Driving, Telling Stories, much, much more. Jenny is doing a tremendous job building her brand, and we support her. Don't forget to check out all of our social media pages, greatest sitcom of all time tournaments going on right now. When you hear this, we will probably be smack dab in the third round. So it's moving fast and furious. We have more tournaments to come. It's just a continuation, you know, new stuff all the time. Also, don't forget to check out policemanation.com. Articles, all of our podcasts are there. Great content, so make sure you check it out each and every day. All right, so Tim, are you ready to watch a movie?
I am.
Okay, for those of you watching at home, I am watching it on DVD. Tim is watching it on Amazon. Is that correct, Amazon Prime?
Yeah, Amazon. It's not streaming as of the date of this recording, but I rented it for the low, low price of, I think, $3.99. I believe I own this movie. I just couldn't find it.
Yeah, that was me. I was frantically looking, and I didn't find it. Because I literally go to, like, FYE, and I buy every movie. Like, I book for Laugh in Theater, just because I don't know, sentimentality, whatever, for $5. Because, you know, quick story, I don't know if anybody listened to my last appearance on Freak Out Drive-In over on the Jenny position, but it was Zombieland, and Zombieland was on Netflix when we booked the show. However, the day of recording said show, I go on Netflix, and it had left said streaming service.
Ugh, that sucks.
I went, crap. Well, I said probably some stronger language, ran out to the mall that is about a mile or so away from my house, picked up Zombieland on Blu-ray, and was able to do the show. So
it still worked out.
So, yeah, so that's why I try to secure hard copies as much as I can.
Yeah. I mean, I have a feeling I know where the physical disc is. I didn't feel like digging it out. Looking in the like three different places.
It's not worth the $3 to keep digging.
I was like, hell with it. It's okay. Right here.
Yeah, you're probably watching a cleanup version than I am. So.
Exactly.
So anyway, all that banter aside, we are paused at the Columbia Pictures logo. The lady's there with her little torch, and you could just make out Columbia Pictures. So we're going to start in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hit play. My thing never likes to go when I first do it. So yeah, this is a... I probably saw this in theaters. I was a little bit older. I was 20 at the time.
Okay, a little bit.
So we have the sky. We see Columbia Pictures Presents.
Yeah, some lovely images of clouds here. Whimsical music playing.
Is that what it says in the subtitle?
No, I just remember.
It says whimsical music. It's so pretty. Harold Ramis, such a talent that we lost.
Yeah, so this is their last collaboration, he and Bill Murray. They had a falling out during the filming of this, if I remember correctly. It just seems like one of those Bill Murray being Bill Murray types of things. Yeah, exactly. And Harold Ramis just sort of had enough of it. Apparently, they nearly came to blows at one point. Which is very upsetting, but they made amends before Harold Ramis passed. So I guess there's no regrets there, hopefully.
So here we go. The weatherman, Connors.
Phil Collins, the weatherman. Oh, he's calling it in the air tonight here on this.
He's blowing forcefully on his graphic screen here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's what is this, Pittsburgh, right? He's I believe over the big city.
Yeah.
with the blue screen or green screen, depending on your color blindness or not.
Right. And Bill Murray makes a great TV weatherman here. I mean, this is your typical local weather guy.
Anybody who has to talk a lot and kind of bullshit people, that's Bill Murray. You know, game show host, you know, used car salesman.
Right. Sigourney Weaver, her character Dana in Ghostbusters even says he's like a game show host.
You're not like a scientist. Yeah, they're usually pretty stiff. You're more like a game show host.
And he's such an asshole in this, too. A Bill Murray sort of template type character, but it's different from something like Scrooge, where he was more of a big shot asshole. This is, he's like a really, he's got this inferiority complex, right? He's a dick. He's just local weatherman, but he thinks he should be a somebody. He's telling anybody who will listen, hey, I'm moving on to bigger and better things. I don't want to cover this local yokel Punxsutawney bullshit for, I believe he said, the fourth year in a row.
Yes. So this guy's been in a lot of stuff too. I'm trying to remember his name. Got the glasses here. There's Annie McDowell, I think she's the producer, right?
Yes, she's his new producer. Yes.
I don't know. I don't. She's pretty, but I don't know. I never had like a thing for Annie McDowell growing up.
She's such a, I don't know. She's kind of perfect for this role in this movie. But she is very like early 90s at the same time. If that makes any sense.
So I did the Google, and Staten Island Chuck is his name. Also referred to more formally as Charles C. Hogg with two G's, is a groundhog who resided in the Staten Island Zoo in Staten Island, New York City. He serves as the official groundhog meteorologist of New York City who predicts the duration of winter each February 2nd on Groundhog Day. Huh. So he's the city mouse to the Punxsutawney Phil's country mouse, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow. That's with two G's.
You thought I was making that up, did you?
I didn't think you were making it up, but I just, man, it's definitely a very Northeast thing.
Yes. Staten Island Chuck.
Tremendous.
Yes. So here they are. So we got, you know, the newsman or the producer and the cameraman played by Chris Elliott.
Yes, Chris Elliott, who we saw just a glimpse of earlier. Mm-hmm. He's sort of a straight man in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't get a whole lot of lines or a whole lot of scenes. Is just sort of a, and he's good at it, just playing this sort of working stiff, blue-collar guy. Mm-hmm. It's just not a very Chris Elliott type of role, but it, I mean, I really like him in this movie.
Yeah, he was working a lot. I mean, Get a Life was, I think, had passed mm-hmm. by this time, but he had Cabin mm-hmm. Boy now, which I don't know if I could do it. I mean, on the show, I mean, it's quite a stretch, that movie. I mean, love the Letterman appearance, but
right.
And then he had in a couple of years after this, he has There's Something About Mary.
So yeah, that'll be coming up.
And what else? I think he was on Every Brother's Raymond for a while. He played like the brother of Robert's wife or something. But
could be.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a whole lot of that show for as long as it was on.
All right. So here we are in Punxsutawney.
We are.
I watch it in reruns.
Yeah, and we took the scenic route into Punxsutawney, which
I don't think there's any other route.
Yeah, it looked very dreary, didn't it? Just sort of.
Now, that's how I imagine most of Pennsylvania is. No offense to people who live in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's fair.
I've never been to this part of Pennsylvania. I have not been to Philly, although I will be going in March with a couple of PTBN members to a show, a wrestling show of sort. But my sister went to school in Pennsylvania in a town called Mansfield.
Hmm.
I have to, again, do the Google because it was a 5-hour drive by car each way. I can't tell you where it was near, though, in the great Keystone State.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've only ever driven through Pennsylvania, not really spent any time there.
I mean, I would love to go over. There's an amusement park called Kennywood outside of Pittsburgh I would love to visit with my children one day.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird that I always, when I throw this movie on or just watch it on television, I feel like the two of them, Phil and Rita, have worked together for a long, long time. But it's really like her first day on the job here. But the way the movie just plays out, he gets to know her a lot better than she gets to know him. So I see why I have that takeaway, but they make it very clear she's his new producer.
So here you go. The first time we hear, I Got You, Babe.
Yep.
At 6 a.m.
Get used to it.
Yes. We should have a running count. That's one.
I'm sure there is. Somewhere,
some website.
Yeah. I didn't do that that homework before the show, but
that's okay. We try to limit your math.
Yeah.
If you can, we don't want to make you do
it. My understanding, yeah, there would be no math
during the tonight's recording of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So they're calling for a blizzard in Punxsutawney.
Right, which he said was going to miss them.
Yeah, I always forget, though. What is it? If he sees a shadow, it's 6 more weeks or is it early spring?
Yeah, so the groundhog sees a shadow. It's 6 more weeks of winter. If he does not, then spring comes early.
Yeah, so this year we've had a fairly mild winter, I would think, in the Northeast. I don't know how in the Commonwealth how it's been.
Yeah, it's been pretty much fine here.
But like we've had those rough winters. I said that little fucker better not see a shadow. I swear to God. I get very angry at Punxsutawney Phil if it's a cold winter.
And that's the thing too, like of all the days of your life to have to repeat over and over and over endlessly in this time loop that we're going to see, it would be a miserably cold day. February, in early February. Yeah. Like the coldest fucking day. Yeah, especially if you live in the Northeast. I mean, is there any colder day than just winter in February?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So this actress we've seen a lot too. I think that's Angela Patton. I want to say I have the wiki up here. Let's see. I know her from like stuff like Ground.
Yep, from Angela Patton.
Yep, wedding singer. She was on a lot of stuff though. She was the grandma in American Wedding.
Amazon just told me I'd hovered over to the little X-ray trivia icon, and it tells you who's in the scene. So sure enough,
look at that technology.
I know. How about that?
And that other guy that was by Ken Hudson Campbell. He's been a lot of stuff too.
Yep.
He's the guy that says, good morning. He was, I first knew him on Herman's Head. He was Herman's Lust.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And there he is being Phil. Mm-hmm. here we go. Ned Ryerson.
Phil?
Phil Connors? I love Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yep.
He is a national treasure. I gotta say, he does a podcast with one of the guys from Slash Film called The Tobolowsky Files.
Yes.
Stories of his life. Have you listened to it, Tim?
I've heard like an episode here and there. I'm familiar with it. I'm not a regular listener, though. Yeah, I should.
Yeah, I think it ended, but I haven't. I didn't listen to the last batch, but he's such a gifted storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much is embellished, but you know, it was just a tremendous listen. But yeah, he's great. I actually messaged him on Facebook after after a particular episode, kind of moved me a little bit. So yeah, he responded. So said, but yeah, or he respond or he, I don't know if it was a comment. I don't know, but it was he was very nice though.
Sounds like a good dude.
Yeah, he's selling insurance to Phil though, as we talked about.
Right,
the movie
he's an insurance. It's so funny how he's telling him things. Oh, you used to. We went to school together. I dated your sister. Like, it just becomes more and more a part of this man's life, and he just has no recollection of him.
Sometimes, like, you know, I see people like from afar. Like, do you avoid people like you know, from the past that you see, and you just like, I don't have time for you.
Yeah, I make a huge, like in the grocery store or something, I will totally do a beeline.
I almost did that to my uncle. I was in Florida. I didn't see him in
years. I'm not going to lie. It's not just people. It could be family. It might be on press for time, but more often than not, I don't want to have this awkward interaction in the middle of.
Yeah, keep in touch. No, I'm really not.
Yeah.
That's why AirPods are great. Because sometimes if people see you, then they avoid you.
This is true.
One of my coworkers lives in the same town. He's like, I keep seeing you at the grocery store, but every time you're down the aisle, you got your AirPods on. I'm like, I call your name, you don't respond. I'm like, well, I'm not ignoring you.
It's the idea.
I would act, well, this guy I would actually say hello, goodbye to. You know, I see him at work all the time, but But yeah, some people it's just like, oh, I don't want to. It's like going. It's like when I get dragged to go to my parents' church where I went to grammar school on Christmas Eve. It's like I didn't want to see these people back when I was going to school here.
God. Yeah. You don't want to see him when you had to see him.
Yeah. Now it's just like, oh, what's he been up to? Great. Oh, yeah, you're the vice president of a bank. Oh, wonderful for you. Great. All right. Fuck off.
Leave me alone now.
So here we go.
Yeah, now we're at the actual festival.
Mm-hmm. All right. This tiny hamlet, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly sure what constitutes a hamlet.
Hamlet, I love it. Let's see, and okay. Brian Doyle Murray, of course, is the. So is he like the mayor here of Punxsutawney?
He is the mayor. All right. So, a hamlet is a small settlement, generally one smaller than a village.
Hmm.
There you go.
Well, what qualifies as a village?
I don't, well, this is. Are we going to go down a rabbit hole here, or a groundhog hole, so to speak? All right. Well, a village is a group of houses and associated buildings larger than a hamlet, smaller than a town.
All right.
Right? What makes a town? Is this the cat who ate the rat who ate the dog?
Yeah.
They call Phil the seer of seers, the prognosticator of pronosticators.
Mm.
That thing is scared shitless.
It really is.
Stated in Groundhog-y's, I definitely see a shadow. Everybody boos.
Look how disgusted they look. They're taking it so seriously.
One guy has his blizzard sign upside down. Feels like, ah, me, come on.
Well, that's what's great about movies like this and scenes like this is you'll see you've seen it enough time, you start to pay attention to the extras. Yes. And how some of them are being very extra.
All right, let's see. I'm also looking at Mansfield, PA, where my sister went to college. It was a really small. It's near Elmira, New York. Let me call up the map here. That's like Western New York. That's like farmland New York. All right, gonna zoom out a little bit on the map here. Jesus. Why the hell did she pick this fucking school? My father still says that to this day, but that's another story. For, yeah, a lot of Indian names here that I can't pronounce.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... all right, so let's see. It is... the nearest major town would be Williamsport. It's probably a couple of, an hour or two down the pike where they do their World Series for Little League. Mm-hmm. So it's not near at all, not near Pittsburgh. All right, so I needed that kind of closure, Tim.
I understand. We are now stuck in the blizzard that was supposed to land much, much further north.
Ah.
There's no getting out of Punxsutawney.
He's trying to use his weatherman bullshit to get through this.
Yep.
I don't know. Sometimes getting snowy is good, but other times... Depends on who you're with, really.
Yeah, that definitely is a very circumstantial, it depends kind of situation. And there's no long distance. He can't get a call out, so...
Kids, that's a payphone. We used to actually put quarters.
Oh, yeah, ask your grandparents. Yeah, so there used to be these phones that... Yeah, the public phone that you had to pay to use.
Of course, he's doing what we all would do if we were snowed in a little hamlet.
That's right.
Let's drink.
Making fun of Larry here, Chris Elliott's character, who looks fine, honestly. I mean, he's not dressed up, but again, we're in a hamlet, so you have to dress the part. You have to dress accordingly. who gets in a shower without having already started the water running?
Oh God, that's a must do.
You know it's going to take a minute to warm up. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there wouldn't be any hot water today.
She said, matter of fact.
He's like, silly me.
And that's his day. Mm-hmm.
So this is our second time we see here I got you, babe.
Sonny and Cher at it again.
Yes.
Very curious. Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend is a huge Cher fan. Oh, my God.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Luckily, she has a best friend that went to the Cher show on Broadway with her. She's like, I've spared you. I'm like, okay, well. But when we first started dating, we saw one of the really bad Transformers movies, if there really is a difference. It was the one where the Marky Mark goes back in time. I think it was the last night or something.
Oh, is that the one in Camelot?
Yeah. So for payback, I had to see Mamma Mia 2.
Oof.
And I was like, 10 minutes in the movie, I literally said out loud, what the fuck am I watching? And she was like, and then Cher shows up at the end as, I guess, Meryl Streep's character's mother.
I don't know. You might have gotten a better end of that bargain. Like, Mamma Mia 2 sure is no prize, but the Transformers in Camelot is just, that sounds dreadful.
So literally, she like, sees Cher, she grabs my arm. And I'm like, you realize Cher's not actually here, right? It's a movie. She's like, it doesn't matter. And, deja vu.
We already had this interaction. Mm-hmm.
Didn't we do this yesterday? This poor guy.
Being accosted in the hallway.
He also played, I'm trying to remember, I don't know, it was Animal or something in Armageddon.
Oh, really? This guy? He was one of the one of the mining crew.
Yes, Bruce Willis's guys.
Okay.
Let's see. Let me see what his IMDb says here. He was Max Leonard, but I think he had a nickname.
Hmm.
No. Feels like.
You know, this this premise could be, and has been, a horror movie, more so than a comedy.
I think somebody might have recut this as a horror like trailer. I don't know. I know
it's bound to be out there. Yeah.
I know on YouTube there people do recut stuff, and I know for a fact that there's crap, what the hell is it? The whole
Silence of the Lambs as a romantic comedy.
Yes, there's Sleepless in Seattle as a thriller. And there's The Shining as a comedy.
Yep.
So I suggest you hit that YouTube. Check it out. So I'll probably check that out, see that. They're all going to Gobbler's Knob again, of course. It's Groundhog Day.
Of course.
He's like, it's still just once a year, right? Tim, do you do that? Do you walk past people and just say, oh, I ain't got no cash, no change?
I haven't had one of those interactions in a while. That's another one where, I don't know, you have to sort of judge based on the situation.
Is there a lot of witnesses?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hate to profile anyone, but.
Hey, you never know.
Can't help it.
The world's a messed up place. And
the thing about Ned is he spots him from across the street. I mean, he's clear. Look how wide this street is, right? And he just goes running. He can't get but maybe a side view of Phil and just knows right away. And then just comes hustling over.
Do you think maybe he watches him on TV as the weatherman?
Could be.
Maybe
could be.
Recognizes him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Ned had a little plan.
Depends on if their local station, their coverage area, extends to Punxsutawney, I guess.
Well, that's the worst, man. When you get, like, you're stepping in a puddle and it's freezing out.
Mm. God, that would suck. Because we've all done it. I mean, it's one of those universal human experiences.
I remember at a Giants game, we had season tickets until they built the MetLife. And I was at a game. I had my feet up. It was cold. It was December. And I was like 10 years old wearing jeans. These people sitting next to us or whatever come by and they had orange juice and tripped all over my pants. Literally frozen orange juice on my
frozen
pants.
Sticky orange juice stuck to you.
On my jeans. It was a cold day.
Just leave there. That's exactly what you want.
Now he's trying to tell Rita that he's having a problem.
Right. And moments ago, she slapped him. One of many times she will slap him in this movie.
She probably quite enjoyed it. Yeah. So we know Bill Murray can be Bill Murray.
Groundhog Day again.
Yeah, he's just...
I mean, just think about if this were to really happen to you. I don't know that I'd be able to just go through the motions like Phil is here.
Yeah. I don't know. Would your character arc, man? Would you have a character arc, Tim?
Yeah, well, it's just sort of like, I think I'd be questioning too much. Am I losing my grip on reality? Have I died? And this is like a bizarre afterlife. is someone playing a very elaborate practical joke that everyone is seemingly in on?
He didn't figure out that there is, you know, no hot water today.
Right. Has it caught on to everything about this predicament yet?
Yeah.
Taking some pills. Who knows what those are?
Now, is it 4 in the afternoon or 4 in the morning? Because if it's 4 in the morning, he's getting up at 6, man. He's going to be hurt.
I was going to say, it's got to be 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think we went forward that much.
But he looks like he is in for the night.
Yeah. Well, if you're repeating a day and you don't know what the hell's happening, maybe you're just like, I think if I go to bed, when I wake up, it'll be back to normal.
Yeah.
I hope so.
You're just going to reset.
Yeah. There we go.
And that clock getting bigger and bigger.
He looks like he slept 2 hours now.
Yeah, maybe it was 4 in the morning.
And the pencil is back together.
We're hearing Sonny and Cher again. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's this gentleman in the hallway.
Yeah, this is part where I'd be like, okay, what is happening?
Oh, man. Blizzard is once again erased. See, look how far away he is.
Yeah. He just pushes him away. He's like, leave me alone. I sure as heck fire remember you. It's me, Ned. Ned Ryerson.
Once again.
Yeah. You're not a fan of like any kind of festivals, though, right?
I don't know. It's so much I'm not a fan. As they just sort of aren't for me. Not really my thing.
Yeah, we have a bunch up here.
Used to be. I've just gotten less able to socialize and deal with the world, yeah. You know?
Yeah, sometimes it depends. Here they are in the diner. There's, what's her name? Robin Duke. She was a SCTV Saturday Night Live.
That would make sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think she was one of the whiners. That was in the Joe Piscopo years.
Mm.
They were obviously a character characters that whined. We have a reservation. Doug and Wendy Weiner.
Another YouTube excursion for me. Not familiar with these characters.
Yes. Not that popular, but yeah, they were. That was during the that might have been the Dick Ebersol time. I was like yelling at her. You got to figure this out. She's not believing this story that he's repeating the day. Your name is Phil, like the groundhog?
You know what I'm unfortunately noticing? Like how brown everyone's teeth are.
Really?
Yeah. And in a way, I sort of, I don't know if refreshing is the right way to say it. I find it refreshing. No, but when you watch any movie, like in the HD age, right? They want to make sure everybody looks really, really good for the camera. Everybody's got perfect white teeth and, you know, their hair, they don't have a hair out of place or anything. And I don't know, they just didn't give a shit about the little things as much in 1993.
And there's our director.
Yeah, here's Mr. Ramis.
Playing a neurologist.
The one, I imagine, neurologist in this town.
Punxsutawney.
Yep.
Telling him he needs a shrink. This is David Pasquazzi. I'm not familiar with this gentleman.
Mm.
He was on Curb. Ice Harvest, Veep.
Hmm.
So he was a popular person in terms of character acting. Abnormal psychology.
Yeah, he's a little bit out of his depth. I'm seeing that Harold Ramis originally wanted Tom Hanks for the lead role, but he decided against it, saying that Hanks was too nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
Like, that's true. Tom Hanks can play neurotic and be pretty funny, but he can't really be a convincing asshole like Bill Murray.
I think the first asshole he really played, although he does come around, was in League of Their Own, I think.
Mm, yeah, he's sort of, but he's, I don't know, he's still more of a Tom Hanksian asshole in that, where it's like, oh, he's just playing, he's not really as believable as Bill Murray, who was just sort of degrees of playing himself and everything, it feels like.
So, as we see, though, and this is now day three of Groundhog Day, he's deviated. Now he's in a bowling alley with the...
The locals.
The locals, the Gus and Ralph, otherwise played as Rick Dukeman, the late Rick Dukeman, and Rick Overton.
That about sums it up for me. Talk about living the same day over and over. There's no point to anything. Nothing you do matters.
I like getting drunk in a bowling alley.
Yeah.
Can't say
I love it.
Can't say I've never done that. I have. I worked in a bowling alley, so it's quite easy to do that feat.
Probably a top five place to get drunk. I almost said three, but I'm thinking about
five. What's the rest of the list there? Then,
you got a bar, of course. You've got Home. Mm-hmm. You've got maybe at a concert.
Wedding.
Wedding. Yeah, definitely. Definitely wedding. Yeah. Well, that's more necessity. Yeah. I feel like, because you might not want to be at the wedding, mm-hmm. but if you are, then that makes it go down a little bit easier.
Where are you on getting drunk at funerals?
I would say I'm for it as long as you're the type who can hold your liquor. Mm. Like, if you know you're a bad drunk, then you really have no business getting drunk at a funeral.
Yeah.
Because that's going to end badly.
Yes. Yes. Emotions are high. Probably more emotions are high than at a wedding. You know, with the exception of the bride. Now he just committed a federal offense by taking out a mailbox.
Yeah, he thinks he can get away with this. I mean, if his day is just going to reset anyway, then why bother?
You ever notice Hollywood is not kind to mailboxes? You know that?
Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, I was talking with the the manager about a movie that I would like him to do with me when he returns on the show. And we watched Days of Confused. I remember the scene where they're taking out mailboxes.
With
bats. And there was an episode of The Goldbergs recently where they did that too.
Sure, Todd did a lot of that in his day.
Oh, sure. We did all kinds of stupid stuff like that.
Like driving on railroad tracks, yeah.
Huh? Can't say I've ever done that. I remember almost getting stuck, though, because I jumped down onto the railroad tracks for the Metro North, and I couldn't get myself up because I, at the time, did not have the upper body strength to do that.
Oh, shit.
My friends had to pull me up because I started to panic.
Yeah, that would do
it. There was no trains coming. I just freaked out.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, that was a, living in the Metro New York area, growing up in Westchester County, a major way to get around is the train. So, quite familiar with going to the other side of the tracks.
So literally.
A giant groundhog, poster, statue, whatever you want to call it.
Putting in the drive-thru order. Yeah, that's low-key one of my favorite funniest scenes.
Yeah, we get some flapjacks.
One of those, like, you would never have the balls to do in real life, but he sort of wants to.
Well, he's got nothing to lose, that's why. He's starting to figure it out.
Yeah, see, now he's starting to feel powerful. It's like, this is a shitty situation, but there are no consequences for my actions now. I can work with this.
Yeah. I can mess around.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what is a state official? A blue hat? Gun? Nightstick? Basically a police officer.
Just had to ask. Yeah.
So, no reason. Oh, plants one on her.
Yeah. She's quite taken.
Yes. Catch you tomorrow, Pop.
Still has not given this guy a handout.
Ned. He's cold.
The sell of that punch, too, is crazy.
Yes, he just goes down like a shot. Very Ric Flairian.
Yes. He lets this schmuck step in it. Oh, this is amazing right here. The spread.
Oh, God, just everything.
Yeah.
Look at that. Donuts and... Oh, my.
Rita's just appalled. Such opulence.
I can imagine. I feel like I'm going into a diabetic coma just watching.
Just looking at it, yeah. It looks like on his plate, look, he's got eggs and bacon and a giant stack of pancakes next to him.
Don't you worry about cholesterol.
Now he's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
That is great.
Just stuffing a big piece
downs
of
the whole thing.
Frosting
looks
right?
Good.
Who among us has never done something like that?
I know.
Stuff a whole Twinkie or something in your mouth.
Wonder how many takes they had to do with that.
Oh no, let's first try the Kroller, Bill. All right, that doesn't work. All right, let's try the glazed donut. All right, now the coffee cake. Doesn't have the right. They're like, oh, we need the frosting on the over on the.
Yeah, corner. Their frosting didn't land right.
Yeah, starts trying to figure out what makes her tick, what gets him into her favors, so to speak. Also, the fact that he's smoking indoors. in a public
place. Oh, yeah. Kids, you used to be able to do that, too. There were smoking sections in restaurants.
I actually told my kids earlier about that. I don't know why we got on the subject about it. But, yeah, bowling alleys, movie theaters, airplanes, everywhere.
Yeah. Ask your grandparents if they haven't died of lung cancer yet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, chat up this local.
Yeah. A very pretty local. So it's...
Asking her a very basic identifying piece of information. This is what you had to do. You had to talk to people back then here almost 30 years ago, 1993. Yeah. Now, today, you could just look her up on Facebook.
Yeah. And you'd know all these facts.
Right.
And if you are, so to speak, to swipe. So we could see if his plan works.
And her Facebook might be private, but she would have her Instagram linked. And then you could go to her Instagram. And there might be another link off of something else from her Instagram. And you could follow that if it's private. Because most people will accept, you know, requests more so than they would a friend request. From Facebook, when it's in. Anyway, telling tales out of school.
So he sees that woman again and tells her all the stuff that she had told him the day before.
Right. And putting that information to work.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm. Now suddenly there were prom dates.
Yeah. And he's convinced her. Yeah, gosh, how are you? Mm-hmm. That's funny. If only it was that easy.
I guess when you have unlimited time and information and patience, persistence.
You gotta go through all that effort. It's like watching 50 First Dates also.
Yeah, it sure is.
I'm not the biggest fan of that movie.
As Adam Sandler movies go, It's pretty high. It's up there for me, but I don't like a lot of his movies. So
it has funny parts, but it's not in the Billy Madison, Waterboy.
Yeah, see, those are the ones I don't
really
care for. I mean, I don't really care for any of them just because I don't really like him. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I kind of need Drew Barrymore to make it all better with Adam Sandler movies.
He tells her he loves her. He knows she's not going to know it tomorrow. He asked her if Nancy would be my wife.
Phil.
If she actually says yes, that is. He says Rita again.
Rita. Nancy, whatever.
It doesn't matter. Now he's calling the shots.
Yeah. All right. Now we are really getting into the minutia, the little things here that he is having perfect recollection of, like a gust of wind at just the right time. He's been at this a while.
Yeah.
Pointedly, this movie does not say why this is happening or how long it's been going on for.
Yeah, that's true.
And I like it better that way.
I love how he times it here.
Mm-hmm.
These old ass.
Bumbling ass security
guards. Bumbling Brinks car drivers or armored car drivers. He just takes a bag of money. Guy's like, he doesn't remember if he brought two bags up.
Yeah.
Heidi too. He drives up in a Mercedes.
I know, right? This is such a weird scene.
Just as a cowboy. Well, I mean, if you're going to be eccentric, be eccentric.
Yeah.
I thought we'd go to a costume party.
Thinks he's Clint Eastwood. I mean, you got to get creative in these small towns where there's not a lot to do. Have a little fun with it.
Yeah. Gets her dressed as a French maid. There'll be one adult and us.
And this is a different chick. His so-called fiance just walked by.
Yeah, he's starting to, abuse the power, so to speak, a little bit.
Okay.
Well, I mean, come on. If you're stuck repeating the same day over and over, you got to start making the most of it.
Yeah, you're going to get bold. And I'm sort of mentally doing the questioning of how many days into it before I get really bold.
Yeah.
And do some of the shit that he does. And I'm not sure that I have that answer. But it's inevitable.
Yeah.
You just, if it's gonna be this endless nonstop situation that you get desensitized to after enough cycles, then you're gonna do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, pretty much.
Back to the and office. you're gonna have to keep upping the ante too.
Yeah.
Be so mind numbing.
Well, because you gotta figure out how to break the cycle too.
Well,
like what's
the, if the cycle can be broken? Yeah. Is the question?
Yeah, because it kind of you're in that point. Like, what is the point of me repeating these days?
Mm-hmm.
In the real world, really.
I think I would just assume I'm dead. Like, that it's just purgatory. I mean, there's all kinds of different religious interpretations of, like, what is the meaning behind this. And depending on, you know, what your own particular religious background is, you might have different takes on that. And it's easy to see how that's possible because this is a very, like, secular film in its presentation. Like, they never bring up religion once in this movie.
Well, I think he says he's God. He's like,
yeah, he says I'm God, or I'm a God.
Yeah, I'm not the God, I'm a God.
But they never talk about, oh, I went to church, I'm Catholic, or my family was Jewish, or, I mean, it just, there's never any specifics called out.
Yeah. And now she's describing her perfect man, and he's taking it all in.
Mm-hmm.
It will use it to his advantage.
And he's sabotaging the van.
Hey, thanks for watching. This looks like a nice restaurant.
Not bad for a Hamlet.
Yes. For a Hamlet. Can I buy you a drink? Got her drink of choice. I don't know if you remember what it is. Ugh.
Yes. Sweet vermouth, I believe.
On the rocks with a twist.
Yeah, here we go.
He ordered a Jim Beam on the rocks.
Mm-hmm. Which is about my speed.
Yes. Which you guys discussed on the aforementioned referenced Talking Pop with Mr. Sean Kidd.
Yes, we sure did. I do remember that conversation.
I think everybody experiences Jim Beam in college for the first time.
It was later for me, a little bit later in life. My starter drink was probably Jack Daniels.
Ah.
And I started getting bad acid reflux off of Jack Daniels. And ended up kind of making the switch to Jim Beam. And then I discovered, look at the face he makes.
Let's drink the world peace. Oh, ooh. Like, who the fuck drinks? There was a guy at the bowling alley I worked at that drank triple sec.
Oh, God, drank triple sec.
Like, yeah, like, I'm like.
Just as a drink?
As like, yeah, as like he sipped it with on the rocks. I was like, oh, God.
Gross.
Ugh, I could barely stomach that in like a kamikaze or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'll use that if I need a little something, needs a little extra, little, yeah, flavor or something. But God, that's a anyway.
I like to say a prayer and drink to world peace. Yeah. I love how he pauses as goes amen.
Mm.
My experience with Jim Beam was I'm not a whiskey fan at all. Like, not I don't like Jack. I knew a guy in college. He actually, his fraternity, he wasn't in my fraternity. I actually didn't get in at Hartford, but his name was Jim Beam for whatever reason. That was the name. And people, that was a popular drink. And the big social event on campus at the University of Hartford, where actually my daughter may go, so I'm praying that she doesn't do this, was the basketball games, which our team was not very good, but, you know, still. So still. One game, they gave out these sports bottles. And what did everybody do at halftime? They all went back to their rooms and their apartments and filled it up with their alcohol of choice. And
yes.
On my floor, we did not have much of a selection that night. And it was Jim Beam, and I had something called Cherry Sparkler. It was like a carbonated cherry beverage. Okay. Filled that up. Oh, God. It was.
Yeah, I don't know about that combination. Although, Jack Dew.
Yes,
as it's,
which is a common.
Colloquially known. I would not have thought would be as popular as it is within our circle, but apparently it is. I drink Jim Beam for a while, just sort of as an alternative to Jack. Mm-hmm. Just found it went down a little easier. But then I discovered Gentleman Jack, which I've had really no issues with. I mean, at the end of the day, Jack Daniels is kind of like gasoline, which I'm cool with. It just doesn't always agree with me. Mm-hmm. But the man, that Gentleman Jack is quite nice.
Well, when I discovered Captain Morgan in college, it was love at first drink, I guess. So,
yeah.
That is still my drink of choice, and I love me Captain Morgan in private stock. It's no probably kidding. How you feel about Gentleman Jack.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their fave.
Yeah, I do like a good, nice Amaretto, DiSarno, and the Rocks also. That will mess with my reflux, though.
Mm.
So I don't have that as often as I would like to, because it's a nice, sweet drink to just kind of end your day with sometimes.
Yeah. I will say I had some Captain Morgan Mountain Dew days.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. It's kind of sweet, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
I don't think I could handle it today. But in my early 20s, that was an easy, popular choice.
Yeah, sometimes when you're in your early 20s, you know, your choices of mixers are not really that wide.
Right, right.
It's like whatever you have at hand will make work.
Yeah, what's the saying? Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yes. So, back to the movie. So he started.
They've had a lovely day. Yes. Have Phil and Rita here.
Gone for chocolate and, you know, had some sweet vermouth and drank to world peace. Now they had built a snowman, had a snowball fight.
Yep.
And they're dancing now with the.
He's telling her lies about the family he wants to have someday.
Yes.
She's falling for it.
Yes. All in one day.
But he's holding all the cards. He's gathered all this information and is using it to his advantage.
You know, they need to do a female version, because we talked about this and we talked about 50 First Dates.
Yep.
I'd like to see how a woman would react.
Yeah. I guess it had to come up eventually. Did you ever watch Russian Doll on Netflix?
No, I did not.
I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Very mixed opinions on that one. It's
the Natasha Lyonne vehicle?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Exactly. And it's not exactly the same premise as this, where it's the same day repeating, but she keeps dying.
Oh.
Something will happen. She will die in some freak accident sort of way. And then the day will just sort of, like, she just wakes up back at this this party in this apartment. She's, like, standing in the bathroom staring at herself in the mirror. That's how it – that's the point it resets to each time. And so she's, like, trying to avoid dying as much as possible to the extent that you can foresee, you know, this type of thing happening. And I don't know. It just – it progresses and it's – like I said, kind of similar structure to this, similar premise. And that might be why I was a little bit more down for what it was selling, okay, ultimately. Trying not to give too much away.
Yeah.
Supposedly they're going to do another season.
Maybe I'll check it out then.
Seems hard to... Where they left it seems like they would have a hard time without totally changing everything, getting another season out of that.
So they're back at the hotel room, and they have, yep, they have kissed Phil and Rita. He has ice cream out on the windowsill. It's that cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they, you know, debating whether that they should spend the night together.
Yeah. She's kind of having a Me Too moment. Right here. Which, to your point, would be kind of interesting to see from her perspective. If I heard there was an early draft of the script that, like, it was going to be a late reveal in the movie that she was in a time loop also, somehow. Wow. Yeah, and they cut that. Well, there was also supposedly a reason for this happening to him. Like, he dumps his fiance or something, and she puts a curse on him.
Really?
Which sounds so just schlocky, you know?
So she's starting to kind of figure out he's full of shit, but doesn't exactly know how. I think he crossed the line, you know, starts telling her that he loves her, and she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right.
I don't even like myself.
Yeah, that's another good line.
She slaps him.
She's realizing how performative it is and how he knows way too much than he should. So he had to have done some kind of
research,
stalking or investigative, yes, work here. Which she finds very gross.
Yep.
And but, it is. So.
But he just gets another shot the next day.
Yep.
They're back at the snow, making a snow.
I love how he's just trying to recapture and do it. He's got a do-over, and that's something we all wish we could have.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, for many reasons.
Many, many do-overs I would love.
On many occasions. And he thinks, I do have a do-over, so I'll just, instead of doing this, I'll do this. And it's just, he can't really force those moments, you know?
It's kind of like, oh, here we go, like a nice slap montage.
Yeah, he keeps...
Well, it's kind of like a video game, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're like, okay, I know I have to come here, grab this thing, do that, and then, nope, I died. So it's like, okay, yeah, we got to go do. All right, let's try something else. That's kind of how I just...
Yeah.
Looks like several... he's got to be, what, at least 50 times in by now.
I would think.
I don't know. I think I might be batshit crazy by now.
Well, and that's the other big question is... How long does this go on? I've heard so many interpretations on that. And again, the movie doesn't tell us, but you can kind of try to infer from some of the like skills he's going to pick up along the way that would take a lot of time, you know, to get good at. Look at the clock now. This image always really stuck with me for some reason.
Oh, the big giant guy.
Yeah.
And the DVD commentary Harold Ramis estimated a real-time duration of 10 years.
Yep.
He's saying it had to be more like 30 or 40 years, because 10 years is too short. Jesus.
Yeah, he kind of revised that later on. I've also heard, not necessarily from Harold Ramis, but as many as 10,000 years.
I know. Well, in 2014, the website What Culture combined various time duration assumptions and estimated that Phil spent a total of 12,395 days, just under 34 years reliving Groundhog Day. Wow. That is
something. I guess I could see that. Once you cross, like, the 100-year threshold, that's where I'm like, you would go insane. Like, you would not be functionally sane in any way after that. I don't see how.
Waiting to worship a rat.
Yeah, so now he's had his little power fantasy. He's had this same first date about 10 times, that at least that we saw with Rita. It all ended badly. And now he's getting a little bit depressed, right? We're almost going through, like, stages of grief here at this point.
Yeah, that's what I started to put together in my head. That's what I thought. Thank you, Siri.
Great. Thanks for backing us up.
Damn Apple Watch. I lean on the sucker all the time.
Appreciate the vote of confidence.
Almost called my ex-wife in the middle of body pressure luck once. Oh, at 10 o'clock at night, that would have been fun.
What a nightmare.
Yeah. Yes. You met her. It's a joke, I kid. Not really.
It's your show, so you do what you will with that.
I won't say the word that I've cut out before, so. But you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
There's no way that this winter's ever going to end.
So we worked out, what, 30 some years?
Yeah, about 34 years, according to.
So he's probably about. I'm thinking ahead to some of the things that happen later. He's probably only about 3 to 5 years into. Oh,
God, and he's already. Look at this this stage.
By my estimation. Could still be on the first year. Who knows?
Wow.
God. And again, of all days, just all things being equal, the shittiest day you could possibly have repeat.
I mean, Groundhog Day. It doesn't look that cold.
No.
Except for that one blizzard scene, but.
But you know it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, why couldn't it be like, you know, May?
Right.
You know, May's usually perfect weather, depending. And these people get dressed up like this every year. And then he steals the pickup truck.
Yep. With the groundhog in tow.
Yes.
Phil the groundhog.
Phil, not to be confused with Chuck.
Right.
That's a buddy comedy right there. Phil and Chuck. Escape the zoo.
Is Tom Holland going to do one of the voices?
My daughter would go see it then. She did see Doolittle with her mother. I dodged that bullet.
Dodged that.
Yes, I had to go to Spies in Disguise, though.
I think I might take Doolittle over the animated one.
It was fine. The only thing I noticed was that, Holly Hunter not available. They got Reba McEntire to voice the sassy Southern, FBI lady. Aw, that's so cute.
Was Kira Sedgwick not available?
I gotta tell you here, breaker 1-9, I'm on your 6. And now he's got the groundhog.
Groundhog is driving.
The groundhog's driving. I've often thought about doing that with my dog, but he's got a lead foot. I don't know. Don't drive angry.
Yeah, this was like the big iconic scene that they would show. And it's kind of a small part of this movie is the hijinks with the groundhog.
Well, I mean, groundhog equals hijinks, so
yeah.
He's into the pit key. I don't know what this is called.
Yeah, what the hell? A quarry?
Yeah, rock quarry. There you go. For you Walking Dead fans, we've seen those.
Right. I guess we're also kind of evoking Caddyshack a bit with Bill Murray and this rodent.
Oh, that's right. With the groundhog. Mm. Gopher, I'm sorry. Gopher!
Yeah, like I said, rodent.
Yes. Which was the, same actually, smell. The first episode of Laughing Theater was Caddyshack.
That's right.
With my great friend, Mr. Scott Criscolo. So,
there we go.
I think the groundhog told him to go for it.
Yeah, I think he's taking his orders from the groundhog at this point, which seems about as sensible as anything that's happened in his life.
And there he goes. Taking him. They're kind of Thelma and Louise-ing it. Which, I don't know, was Thelma and Louise out yet?
Yeah, that was 90, I believe. Okay. He might be okay.
That was 91. Sorry.
91?
Yes. So I wanted to make sure my reference was correct in the timeline here.
Somebody needs to do that movie for this show.
Is that a comedy?
I think it's a comedy.
I've never seen it all the way through.
Well, there's some dark stuff. Yeah.
No, I'm...
But it's a buddy comedy.
I'm not telling tales as skewl here, but somebody did reach out and wants to be on the show, and I said, okay, give me some movies. Two of the movies that on this person's list were Point Break and Roadhouse. And I said, those are not really comedies?
Point Break, I could see. Roadhouse is... I had that exact same toaster in my house growing up. I'm sorry.
Hopefully you didn't
that he just electrocuted. This is a very dark stretch of the movie. Just right here.
Yeah, just commit suicide all these different ways.
Over and over. Mm-hmm. And what's sort of fucked up to me is that they make clear, and they're about to make it clear, that the day continues after he dies. It's just at 6 a.m., I guess, is when everything sort of resets for him. But, we're seeing his dead body being identified here in the morgue now.
He does with that look on his face. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He's
a great guy.
Yeah, I really, really liked him.
Yeah, look how broken up Chris Elliott is.
Yeah.
It's not funny, but it's...
Here we go.
I mean, it...
I'm a god.
Yep.
I don't think.
Having this conversation in front of this small town Hamlet waitress.
Yes, Hamlet waitress.
So I know it's a very gendered term, but I mean, I think it's what it calls. That's what this movie calls for right here.
Yes.
Town in 1993. Roadhouse is, I think, a very self-aware B movie, yes. Right? Like, I mean, it's got funny stuff, but it's not really.
I wouldn't put it on your comment.
It's not like a laugh riot or anything.
Yeah, there are some movies that I have on the docket that I even consider a little bit of a stretch, but when you boil it down, it, you know. Are things play for laughs? That's really how I differentiate it. So.
There's Michael Shannon, I think, in the corner. We're going to see. Yeah, we'll see them later on in the movie.
Yeah, I didn't even realize he was in this.
I think this is the first thing he had ever done.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, he's showing her that he knows everyone. All these people have a story, and he knows all of them.
They probably spent at least a day with each of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's Alice. She's from Ireland.
Oh, and here's his fiance.
She makes noises like a chipmunk when she gets excited. Can't say I've ever experienced that, but...
Mm.
Well, chipmunk noises, at least. Everybody knows that you want to do more than producing. So what are you on the, I guess, is ocean versus lake debate here?
Probably I gotta go ocean.
Yeah.
Mostly because only because I take it for granted living on being the East Coast elitist that I am.
yes.
You know, never being more than an hour and a half drive at most from the ocean. I couldn't imagine being in one of those landlocked states.
Yeah, that's for me. Like, I talk about if I ever leave New York, Connecticut area, for me it'd be Florida or California.
Yeah.
I think I could go, like, to Chicago or something.
Right? Yeah. I mean, even though...
I mean, I'm sure it's lovely.
Mm-hmm. It's a major city. It's not like there aren't things to do, my God, in Chicago, yeah. But...
Yeah. I like to visit.
Shit can't go to the beach.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my office is literally on the Long Island Sound. Or an inlet on the Long Island Sound. And you know, during the summer, you smell that salt water just... Oof. It's good. Nice. To me, it just...
You know, it's good for you.
Yeah. And it also reminds me of, like, warm weather.
Right. The thing is, I'm not really a warm weather person, but still, repeating Groundhog Day, February, freezing your ass off, a blizzard is coming in, you're miserable.
In Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, everyone has seasonal affective disorder. Like, it's just, it's the worst.
Now they're throwing cars into a hat. That is like, you're just, there's nothing else to do.
Okay, so we just got a kind of a time marker there. He basically said it took him 6 months to get good at that.
Wow. Geez, 6 months, that's what? That's 180 days of throwing cards into a hat? Oh my God, I want to shoot myself.
He didn't say it was only 6 months. He just said 6 months to get good at that.
Yeah.
So
he took a break for a few months.
You know, yeah,
a few years, right. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
This is the first time I actually thought about, like, how much time he had to do to repeat this, like, as the ginormous length of time that it probably is. Wow. He was bitten by the groundhog twice during shooting, by the way.
Oh.
He had to have anti-rabies injections because the bites were so severe. I'm sorry, I just had IMDb up. I just looked up.
No, like, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That has to suck, getting bit by a groundhog.
Little bastard.
His teeth.
I get mad when my dog just nips, gets a little aggressive with when I give him a biscuit for doing his business outside.
Right.
I get a little annoyed if he takes a little, snips my finger a little bit. As he sits here next to me snoring away. Well, it usually does, as he usually does when I record podcasts.
So, he's telling Rita that it's not like a make it to midnight type of thing. It's at 6 o'clock that I wake up and live the day over. So it doesn't really matter that it's technically the next day. That's not how it works.
Yeah. I don't know. What finally you think, does it to kick the loop?
I don't think it's as simple as, oh, well, he finally figured it out and got it right and became a good person. Because if that was the case, like, it should really be broken here.
Yeah.
He's, you know, made the best of a pretty shitty situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you could say he could do better, but couldn't we always do better? I mean, there's always something to be aspiring towards, I guess. So I don't think it's as simple as that. I think it's just sort of a, I don't know, we can get into this more towards the end, but I think that's part of the overall message of this movie, is it's not anything that he really did. I think, like, the universe doesn't really give a shit about you or what you do or what your actions are, and it's just what you're sort of putting out into the world. Just got, sometimes you have to turn chicken shit into chicken salad. Yep. As they say, and it just was a matter of luck or fate or whatever that it broke when it did. I don't know if there was anything that he had any sort of influence on or control over. I don't know. I think it's, you know, good. It speaks to his personal growth, that he did handle the situation and get to this place of sort of, I don't know, enlightenment. But was that really the end goal? I don't know if there was one. You know, might not be a popular interpretation, but that's sort of, I mean, that's kind of my attitude towards life, period.
Yeah. And maybe, like, why was he picked? Like, was he, mm-hmm. did he need to learn a lesson that badly? I give up counting, by the way.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, we see the clock
might sit
lot.
Down and I might sit down and try to do that one day, but I just, you sort of get lost in the details, and I don't think it's really important. Just let somebody else do that work.
Yeah. It's like trying to time out rumble intervals if there really are 90 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Which Peter Winston was doing during the women's rumble.
Okay.
And he finally gives the homeless man some money. A nice, yeah. Nice wad of cash.
Quite a lot.
Yes. As they head to Gobbler's Knob. There's a lot of coffee discussions today, too, in our chat as well.
That's true, yeah.
So as he's walking up with coffees and pastry.
Yep. And now we're... this is like a kind of a brutal form of therapy that he seems to be experiencing, yeah. Where he's been very humbled and he's not feeling as self-important or above these peons as he was at the start of the film. He's actually talking to Chris Elliott's character like he's a human being for once, for the first time ever. Larry is his name, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you almost didn't refer to him as a human being.
Yeah,
couldn't give his name. He brings him like a raspberry Danish and carries the camera and asks him, says, what do you think, Larry? What do you think of the shot?
Yeah, asks him for his opinion, which has got to be a first. Carrying his camera. Mm-hmm. Asking about his kids. I mean, just, it's a little bit more down to earth now.
Yeah.
Appreciating the little things.
Yeah. Looking around. Whose house is this again?
This is really funny. This is the piano teacher.
Oh. Yes.
Tell you what I like about this. She's with a student, but he's going to give her $1,000 to start. Yes. Immediately.
Come on in. Immediately boosts this little girl. Jesus, God,
this kills me because it's like such a mean joke, right? And it's like they linger on it sort of too long, but they linger on it so long that it becomes funny again. That she's just sadly walking away. God,
it's an old French European thing where he kisses him on both cheeks.
Made that man's day. And of course, he's terrible at piano, but he wants to learn. Mm-hmm. Learn ice sculpting, too.
Why not? You know, you got to get your skill set up.
How long do they say, how many hours is it that you have to put into something before you're...
Oh, everybody, like, you know, we want to be a photographer, you have 10,000 bad photos.
Is it, well,
I don't know if there's 10,000 bad ice sculptures. God, that's very...
Isn't it like a set number, isn't it like 10,000 hours or something?
Yeah, that you have 10,000 to... usually is the number, depending
on... It's like the baseline to get pretty decent at, like at a sport, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I found that with writing. You know, I haven't done much over the last year or so, but you know, I've written 3 or 4 screenplays. I mean, you look at the first one, it's horrible, really, really bad, like so on the nose. And actually,
you saying it's not on the Hollywood blacklist?
No, I would not think it's on the blacklist now. But then you look at like the last couple, and you know, how much I've grown. I grew as a writer, you know, and a lot of it too was studying and learning and taking classes and hiring a script consultant actually for one of my scripts. So, yeah, I mean, you know, she taught me a lot. But yes, it's true. You have to do, there's a lot of bad before you get to the good in anything.
Right.
Nobody's an expert like that day, unless you like have a photogenic memory.
Well, as we've seen, he's spent enough time, enough hours to become pretty good, a pretty good pianist, pretty good ice sculptor. I believe if he doesn't speak French fluently yet, he will the next few scenes here. So, I mean, this is a long time now. It's got to be.
Yeah, he finally figured out this guy is.
The old man, yeah. Yes.
Oh, he passed away.
Yeah, it took him a while to finally acknowledge this homeless man, but now that he has, he's really invested in...
And you referenced Scrooge. That happens in Scrooge as well.
Yes, it does. Yep, I forgot about that.
With Andy. I think his name is. Sometimes people just die. Not today.
Not having it.
I don't know. There's only so much you can do if somebody's really old.
And, you know, if this was a superhero movie, this would kind of be his origin story, right? I mean, this is really the heart of the movie now, where after he has this repeated experience with... a kindly old man. This is a great scene right here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terribly sad, but... Yeah.
That, you know, no matter what he's doing, this old man's just his... It's his time.
Yeah, this shot where he... Nope, not breathing.
You tried, Phil.
And he just looks up. Like, we've all been there, where it's just that feeling of powerlessness, even when you should be able to do something, anything, and you can't.
Mm-hmm. Amongst the people of Punxsutawney. I wonder if the locals really love or hate this holiday.
I mean, yeah, you gotta.
I'm sure it's good for revenue, but it's like,
kind of like Sturgis with the.
Well, it's like anywhere, like where Scott lives and where I used to live. There's the Oyster Festival every September.
We've got an Oyster Festival adjacent to where I mean, it's close to where my dad lives now. It's about a 60-80 mile drive for me. But is somewhat popular in these parts.
Yeah. Yeah, well, being on the water, you know, on the Atlantic Ocean,
mm-hmm.
there tends to be a lot of oysters.
And it truly takes vessels. Over, truly takes over the town.
Yeah. It's not like the Greater Grady Squash Festival, but, you know, it's okay.
Wow, Squash Festival, that's...
That's a poll if you got, if you know what movie I'm referencing.
Mm. I can't say I do offhand.
Ah, the great Michael J. Fox comedy, Doc Hollywood.
Oh.
These women pull over with a flag. They
just changing it. Well, now he's just doing good deeds. He's sort of, it sort of turned into that first Christopher Reeve Superman movie.
Yeah.
Just this sort of montage scene of him going around saving people. And it was after, of course, the run-in with the old man that he's decided to do this now.
Devote himself to good.
Yes, to use his powers, his considerable powers and knowledge for good.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he had a moment of clarity.
God, how many times did that kid fall out of the tree and just splat on the sidewalk?
That might have must be a nice thing, giving her a light for her cigarette.
Yeah, really.
You think about it.
How many times did that guy choke on the steak and die on the floor?
There's Larry with, what's her face? I can't remember what her name is.
Nancy?
Nancy, that is correct. Nancy. Yes. Marita Garrity is the actress's name. What else is she known for? Not much. She was in Don Juan DeMarco, Hero, Sleeping with the Enemy. More of a television actress in the mid to late aughts, I guess. Mm. As you would say.
The aughts. I guess that's what we have to say.
Yeah. The OOs, I don't know.
We could say the 20s now, you know? About that.
I wonder if they'll be roaring.
Oh, God. Let's hope not.
Larry is pretty fly for a white guy. He's got the overbite going.
Yep.
Trying to put the arm on the thing.
Got a very 1993 sweater. Mm-hmm. Again, he looks fine. Not overly dressed up, but it's Punxsutawney. What do you want?
It's high fashion for Punxsutawney in 1993. Mm-hmm. There's fell with his Ray-Bans.
Mm.
Yeah, he must have taken quite a few lessons.
Yeah, he's skilled enough now to play with this band. Now he's doing a solo.
Yeah, he went from up-tempo, and then he went to a ballad, and now he's playing jazz.
Jeez. Yeah, more and more I'm buying into that 30, 40 years.
Yeah, because he's learned all these skills. This is a piano teacher.
Yep.
The band is very 90s looking. Except for him. The bass player, but these two guys are very 90s. What is that woman dancing? Holy shit. She's like spazzing out, that one blonde woman. Like, what is happening
here? He's the toast of the town here.
There you go. The toast of the hamlet, if you will.
Excuse me. Wow. That was very offensive to the hamlet.
Yes, so it's town, village, hamlet, I guess.
Yep.
City is above.
I gave them a big promotion, huh?
Yeah. What about, what were, see, now this rabbit hole is going to be like, what's a municipality?
What's a township?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. New Jersey, they have townships. I'm like, why are they in townships?
Yeah.
You know, well, if we go back to, we go even further, you know, it's like, you know, you live in a commonwealth.
Right.
You know, I live in a state.
Louisiana, they have parishes.
Yes. Wow, we're just geography nerds tonight.
Look at this, yeah. Killing it.
What you did for Buster.
He would have choked for sure.
He was trying to swallow a whole cow.
So I guess he died in all the other versions where he didn't receive the Heimlich. Maybe somebody else. There's a lot of death going on
at Punxsutawney. There's Michael Shannon. That's the woman who was spazzing out the bride.
Ah, very good.
She was on that dance floor like, holy Christ.
She might be somebody. Who is she? Anyone?
I'm trying to look it up here. I have the...
Hendon Walsh? Not a name I recognize.
Let's see if I can find.
And he gets them tickets to WrestleMania, by the way.
That is awesome.
So I guess 1993. Ooh, that was #9 is fine. I don't know about that.
She looks like she's a voice actress these days. Doing a Teen Titans. She does the voice of Starfire on Teen Titans Go on the Cartoon Network.
Oh, okay.
So that's good money there. That voice acting.
Voice acting.
Yeah, Princess Bubblegum on Adventure Time. She's got some pretty major roles, actually.
So primarily a voice actor, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. You notice a lot of them look like her, too. A lot of them are that short, little blonde woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, look at your... what's it called? It what's the woman who does the voice of Bart Simpson? Nancy Cartwright.
Yep.
All of them. They're all kind of like that way. I mean, June Foray was that way too. The voice of Rocky Squirrel. So WrestleMania tickets. Wow, I never noticed that.
Yep. And like I said, they would have been going to WrestleMania 9.
Ugh.
Seeing Bret Hart get jobbed out to Yokozuna. But Hulk Hogan's... So they might be big Hulkamaniacs. You don't know.
You know Jim Ross's first show?
In the toga.
But yeah, I was saying, there's a lot of deaths in Punxsutawney that day. You know, the little boy falling out of the tree, the old man dying, the mayor choking on a cow.
Yep. God knows what would have happened to those old ladies with the flat tire.
I know.
Car probably would have exploded. It is a movie.
How they're having some kind of auction, and all the women are bidding on them.
Yes, a singles auction here.
And there's Rita bidding a unusual $339.88.
So she is our lucky winner.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of a Saved by the Bell episode.
I know, right?
I don't know. Having those auctions in those high schools, that's going to be great for your self-esteem now.
Yeah, right?
How Larry goes up there, he's like, I'll bid. Who doesn't want a piece of that? The old ladies do.
Mm.
They're a buck and a half.
Anybody?
75 cents. 2 bits.
Good Lord.
25 cents. He's just like, oh, shit. I thought that was you. He runs into Ned in a different setting.
Oh, yeah. God. Great insurance salesman.
Yes. My dad was an insurance guy.
Yeah.
I could have gone into that business.
I know. I did. Well, I didn't go into sales, but
Well, he had an Allstate office. The Bronx, yeah. I want to be creative, work in television.
Yeah.
Lucky me.
Lucky fucking me.
Look at me. He paid top dollar for me. So is he? He's ice sculpting here with a chisel. And he's making a snowman, I guess.
How long do you think it takes you to get good at ice sculpting? Does that adhere to the 10,000 hours rule also?
Oh.
That's pretty damn good.
That's a little different, too. He more like, you almost like clay.
Yeah.
It's like almost like pottery with snow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they do classes in culinary school on doing that, because everybody has ice sculptures at buffets and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you can learn basic. I mean, look, anybody works in a bar, and bars I worked in, you know, we did those unsanitary, you know,
blocks
of ice that you run the shot down, you put your mouth on the bottom of.
Yep.
Yeah, those always went over big.
The ice luge thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I spent one night.
Yeah, I just had a bad flashback to doing one of those.
They set up one outside my DJ booth one night at this one bar. After like that one night, just watching nope, never doing that. No, I'm good. I'll watch from afar.
Yeah. It's always a little bit weird to me to see Bill Murray as like a romantic lead, and yet he always is.
Yeah.
In Ghostbusters, in Scrooged, in this, in Lost in Translation.
I was going to say Lost in Translation. I still have to watch Life Aquatic. That's on one of my, it's one of my blind spots in my Bill Murray.
It's a little bit like, I mean, I mentioned Hulk Hogan earlier. I was very ooged out by thinking that Hulk Hogan had a sex life and No Holds Barred when we watched that for a Place to Be podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little bit like that with Bill Murray.
Oh, and he's realizing something's different today.
Look, we heard the song, but she's there.
Yeah.
How can this be?
Why are you here? I bought you.
I bought you. The cycle. What if it's just broken this one time?
I can't even make a collie stay. So you said about the cycle broken?
What if it just starts right back over?
Oh, I would be like, I give up.
It was just a glitch. Like, they forgot to press the reset button. It's like, oh, shit. He advanced a day.
Today is tomorrow. Finally. My God, wouldn't your brain explode, though?
I know.
All that knowledge in there?
You would have such severe, like, PTSD for the rest of your life, thinking, living every day, thinking it's going to be the same day that this could restart at any moment.
I don't want to get stuck on Arbor Day next. Come on.
Yeah, right?
It'd be the worst holiday besides
Groundhog Day. Oh, God, not Flag Day.
I don't know. Do you think something like Cinco de Mayo or St. Patrick's Day would just get so old so fast?
Yeah, that would get really old.
I mean, I don't like St. Patrick's Day anyway, personally, but...
Yeah.
It's always shitty weather that day.
Yeah, it's sort of at a bad time of year also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think after about the equivalent of a month, you'd be like this. Probably sooner than that, but a month tops. You'd be like, fuck this.
4th of July. You probably just have just tinnitus like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just constant. Or what if the day you repeat it is like the day after a major surgery, so you're in great pain just constantly, or you're sick, like you have a food poisoning or something, you're throwing up. And like right when you start to kind of get better is when the day restarts. Telling you, this is an easy horror movie premise.
Yeah, or it would be your birthday.
Or it could be a really good day.
Yeah. But, so the movie ends. They
basically, that's our movie.
Yeah, realize, I guess, it's now February 3rd.
Wow, only took 40 years to get there.
Yeah, I think it was a fun movie.
Oh, yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, good choice, Tim. Try not to, on your third appearance, you don't have to, you kind of called your shot in unknowingly.
I guess I did.
Kind of said, Tim, remember what movie you picked? You're like, oh, shit.
No.
I know. I joke. I kid. No, I quite enjoy podcasting with my good friend Tim Cable. So thank you for coming back into the Laughing Theater, Tim. Let's talk about your online presence. What shows you have going on now? I believe, like I said earlier, this is going up on Groundhog Day. So anything you'd like to promote coming in the early February? Things posting the end of January.
I would say, other than the shows we already mentioned at the top of this episode, meaning myself, Jennifer Smith, Justin Rosero, Scott Criscolo, we have on the Jenny Position. So Jenny's own podcast feed, the aforementioned Jenny Position Podcast Network, is our Journey Through Infinity. The Journey Through Infinity, where we are chronologically watching all of the films in the MCU chronology. And Justin has never seen these. So it's sort of a JT learns Marvel in a way.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we've all seen them 100 times and he's seen them 0 times. So kind of getting his first impressions, walking him through sort of the things that he didn't really get, like maybe it's from the comics or just whatever his kind of first impressions are and how it compares to our own knowledge and foreknowledge, I would say. So, check that out. Journey Through Infinity, that is part of the Jenny Position. We will have another episode of the Marvel Age podcast right here on Place B Nation Pop. As I said, starting the year 1973, looks like another 3-part year there for 1973 on Marvel Age. That'll be, I would say, later in the month of February. We haven't actually recorded the episode yet. We're scheduled. So I don't want to, don't want to jinx us there.
All right.
And on Twitter, you can find me at Cyke68, C-Y-K-E-6-8 on the Twitter.
Awesome. So, yes, I listen to Journey Through Infinity. I quite enjoy it. Tim, you're kind of the, sheriff, the ringmaster, kind of like leading the...
I kind of know the comic side of it. Mm-hmm. So anytime there's like an opportunity to say, well, this is what they changed from the comics. That's sort of where I come in, yes. I guess.
It's a lot of fun. No, I highly...
I'm glad you enjoy it.
Suggest listening to it. Yeah, and also some of the movies I haven't seen in a while, so it kind of gives me a reason to go back and revisit.
Yeah, that's a series I've just kind of seen front to back so many times that I think the contrast sort of makes it fun to do. Of course, Jenny and Scott, big fans as well, but this is all new to Justin.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool hearing it from through his perspective as well.
Yep.
So for me, on the previous episode, Matt Souza was here. We watched Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. Mm-hmm. And on the next episode after this one, I have The Godfather, Nate Milton, making his debut here in Life and Theater. We're going to be watching Black Dynamite.
Oh, wow.
So I look forward to that anytime. Awesome. You podcast with Nate quite often. So anytime you podcast with Nate, it's always a great time.
Oh my God, he's the best.
Mm-hmm. You and I got together with Mr. Steve Willey and Mr. Scott Criscolo. We did our second annual In Memoriam show. We looked back at the deaths of 2019 and kind of tried to say some nice words and remember fondly people in sports, pop culture, music, movies, and television. And wow, we're in January. We've already had a lot of major.
I was going to say, reminder that this was 2019 only. Yes. So
unfortunately,
don't tweet at Andy with any exclusions or anything. We know the year has already gotten off to kind of a rough start, but we were looking at the 2019 unfortunate additions to that club. So
yes,
there are a lot of names, a lot more than you might have thought going in. But we tried to do right by those folks, pay tribute, and also lighten the mood in some cases.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of lighter mood, I will be have a special going up looking at the Oscars this year's 2020 edition, previewing that. I definitely will be on with Miss Miranda Berthold, the other half of Geek and Sassy. Paul Bernardo, making his podcast debut. He is one of our writers on the site and somebody I've known for a very long time. We've worked together at a couple of places. And maybe, if scheduling allows, Andrew Reich may be joining us as well. So look forward to that. and then, Tim, you're going to be back with me, Scott, Jenny, Miranda. We're going to be looking back at the fall and winter movies from September, October, November, December of 2019.
That's right.
Finally get to talk about Jojo Rabbit. I'm very happy with that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I will have seen Jojo Rabbit by then.
I hope so.
I'm making a point to do that.
All right. Awesome. I look forward to your thoughts. It's very high concept, and it's an enjoyable movie. I'm just going to leave it at that. And Scarlett Johansson does deserve her nomination. That's all I'm going to say. Try not to give anything else away.
Gotcha.
Also, though, we're having another live watch coming. On Looking Forward, Looking Back, we're going to be watching Scott Pilgrim versus the World. That will be the aforementioned Scott, Jenny, Miranda, you, and maybe one other person. And this is kind of my prize. I got to pick a live watch movie for winning the summer movie wager from last year. So that's our thing. Hopefully,
I was very surprised that you picked that, but
well, there's so many
different... I remember really disliking that movie at the time, but I admittedly have not seen it in, well, about 10 years, so it'll be, I guess I'll have to compare and contrast.
There's lots of directions you can go in when you're given that kind of power or prize.
It is.
So I had a few thoughts. I thought about, like I may have told you guys, I thought about Tucker and Dale versus Evil,
mm-hmm.
which is a very funny horror comedy. I also thought about the Happy Time Murders.
Oh, yep.
Because
from just a couple years ago,
yes,
right?
Yes, which is something that now, if I'm flipping channels, I get sucked into it.
It
was not, people did not know what to make of it, I think.
Which right.
Why it wasn't successful in the theaters. I thought it was hysterical and a very smart comedy, kind of a whodunit kind of movie, crime thriller.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's several directions. But I look forward to this year's summer movie wager because it's going to be a difficult year to handicap.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I will be looking at that, compiling that list. Look for that show to come in sometime in March because I believe we are trying to include the James Bond and Trolls 2 as part of the summer. That will change things up if we do go ahead in that direction. We're still determining the time period when we will actually start, so more details on that will be coming soon. But in the meantime, I want to say thank you again to Tim Keeble for coming back to the Laughing Theater for his second appearance and picking another funny movie, another funny Bill Murray movie, no less.
Hey, I got you, babe.
That's right. Thank you. So, for Tim Keeble, I am Andy Atten. Thank you for joining us on Laughing Theater, but for now, the theater is closed. We'll see you on the next showing. Take care, everybody.
I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
it's okay.
Oh, God.